Acts chapter 9, if you will turn with me there, Acts chapter 9. And we want to just read one verse. This is the account, as you're turning there, this is the account of where Paul, which is his prior name was Saul, this is where his conversion was, where Jesus changed his life. But there was a question that was asked that I think that we could even ask ourselves. In other words, we could apply it to our life. And that's kind of what I want to do tonight, is just give you a few thoughts. And then after those few thoughts, then we will go down and have Sundays. Anyway, we want to begin reading just one verse in Acts chapter 9, beginning or reading the verse number 6. And the Bible says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said," and this is Saul, this, who we know as Paul, he asked the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord answered. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and to spend some time together in your word. We're thankful for those that continue to watch so faithfully online. And Lord, we're so thankful for those that are here. And Lord, we just desire that you speak to our hearts, that you minister to us, that you help us, you strengthen us. But also, Lord, help us to be reminded of our responsibility to you. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a question. What a question when you stop and just meditate on it, where he's asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In other words, let's kind of put it like this. He's asking, what can I do for you? He's asking, what do you have for me? He's asking, what is the best thing for me in my life? At the very moment of Saul's conversion, his life changed. He had a heart change. He knew that his life would be different by asking a question such as that. He knew the road that he was traveling down, and I'm not talking about the Damascus road, but I'm talking about the road of life. He knew just in that moment that things were going to be different. And I look at him as being one that wanted to get started with his new life. And so he asked that question. We know him as one that persecuted the church. We know him as one that threatened the believers. We know him as one that supported the stoning of Stephen. And we say, how in the world could God use someone with a testimony such as that? And I tell you tonight or this evening that only God can change a life. Only God can make a difference to the point to where God can use. And after his conversion, and we won't spend a lot of time with this, but I'll at least make mention. After his conversion, there were some that were troubled about him doing anything. There were some that were troubled because they made mention that he's the one that did this. But you see, we have to understand, we now are dealing with a changed person. We're now dealing with a person that a life has changed to the point to where God's going to use him. And so we find this question, and we've titled our message tonight, Finding God's Plan for Our Lives. And I'll begin by saying this. In 2014, God blessed me to the point to where I was able to graduate from Trinity Theological Seminary. And I did everything online, and we went up for the graduation, and the president of the school at that time, he gave his speech or his message, if you will, to those that had graduated, and he gave a challenging message. And he said something like this. He said, God's got a plan for every one of you. And all of us came from different areas. Some were come from overseas. And they came and for this graduation. And he said, you're coming from different backgrounds. You're coming from different lives. You're coming from different environments. But God's got a plan for you. And he said, God's plan may change as you grow older and as your ministry changes. And he said, and he gave himself as an example. He had been a pastor for many years. He had pastored small churches. He had pastored large churches. And God led him into the presidential, if you will, president of Indiana, the college there that we went, and there's now, if I'm not mistaken, there's now online close to 10,000 students from all over the world in this seminary. And so he was the president, and he said, God had a plan for me. And he said, God was using him as a pastor, but now God's using him as a president to try to make the school affordable, to try to make the school to where many people could come and be a part and get their education, and so getting the right teachers in there. So in other words, God had a plan for him. Since then, I keep up with him. And since then, he has left the presidency of Trinity, and his son's now the president. But now he's gone into evangelism, and he has gone somewhere just about every Sunday of the year, preaching, and he's talking about the souls that are saved. But the plans change, and it's based upon God's direction. So I don't want to ever think that God doesn't have something for every one of us to do. It just may not be the same thing that we started out doing 30 and 40 and 50 and so on, and even 5 years ago, and maybe even last week. But we have to be open to what God has for us. Because I believe that God can use us in a special way. There's an example of someone that I think of that used to attend this church, and she seemed to be upbeat in most cases, and that was Miss Pigram. And her life changed, and she had her health caused her to have to move out of her house, and most of you knew that her eyesight started deteriorating, and eventually she went blind. And I would go see her in the rest home, the rehab rest home place in Greensboro. And when I would see her, she said, her testimony was, I just want God to use me. I know I can't do what I used to do, but I just want God to use me. And to my knowledge, up until her passing, she was always telling people about Jesus. That's allowing God to use you and not allowing your circumstances to change you. So I want us to think on this question tonight. God's plan for your life. And I want to begin by saying this. The first thing that the Lord told Saul after his conversion was go and wait. Now that is two things that we struggle with. The first is going, and the second is waiting. It's hard sometimes to wait. And that's simply what he says in verse 6, the latter part, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It didn't tell him how long he was going to have to wait. It didn't tell him that we know if you read that passage, it wasn't very long, but he still had to wait. And so maybe God was preparing him. We know that he lost his eyesight temporarily. And so we know he went on this journey, and maybe God was preparing. But I want us to think about it this way. Not only was God preparing him, but God was also preparing others. You see, if you read on down through this passage of Scripture, Ananias was involved. And God had to give Ananias direction towards Paul. So in that waiting, and as I said before, sometimes it's hard for us to wait, but in that waiting, God may be preparing others to fit right into His plan. You see, I believe that God has a plan for each one of us, but I believe in the plan for each one of us, He's also planning other people's lives, and they're going to intertwine to give God glory and that others can be saved. Go and wait. God's plan many times involves others, and we can go down through the line of people in the Bible, and just a few came to my mind, and I think of Abraham. There was a waiting period. I think of Moses. I think of David. I think of Jeremiah. I think of Paul, who we're talking about here. I think of Peter. And I think of John. And the list can go on and on and on. That's not even close to all the people that are mentioned that God used as part of His plan. And each one came from different lives. Each one came from different backgrounds. Each one was a different age. You know, it's not about a certain age that God uses, but it's about a willingness. That's where the question comes in. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And so it's about a willingness. And there's a verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 that says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this is, we're His workmanship. And as being part of His workmanship, then God's got a plan for us. I don't think He's the type of person or the type of God that saves a person and says, I don't need you. But I believe it's our privilege to be able to serve Him. It's our privilege. And I don't want to use the word obligation, but yet when we stop and think about what He's done for us in our lives, why wouldn't we want to serve Him? And that's why I don't want to use the word obligation, but I will say that when we study on what He's done for us and when we experience what He's done for us in our lives, why wouldn't we want to serve Him to the best of our ability and allow God to use us? There's a song that we occasionally sing, little as much when God is in it. It's not about how much we can do. It's just simply about His willingness and what He can do with us. Because He can do far more with a little than what we can do with a whole lot. Amen. And that's how God works. It's just simply our willingness. And so there's another verse in Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So He gives us a direction. He directs our paths. We trust Him. We follow Him. We lean on, you know, we don't lean into our understanding, because if you haven't learned by now, we're not going to understand everything. So we don't even need to try, because there's just some things that we don't understand. But there's no doubt in my mind, and based upon what the Scripture says, that God can use every one of us. And God takes what we have and our abilities, and He just wants a willing vessel. So God has a plan for our life. So there's a few things that I just want to mention tonight, and that is this. When we look at the plan that God had for Paul's life, we have to consider that it's a personal plan. It was a plan for Paul. Now, I don't believe that you could take that same plan and apply it to me, because it was Paul's plan. God was directing him. God put him in the paths that he needed to be. However, I don't believe that God, that my plan, that Paul could necessarily go into my plan, if that makes any sense. God has a plan for each one of us. And yes, we use our abilities, and yes, we use our talents, and we use what God gives us, but I believe it's to the point where it's a personal plan. But our personal plan, our personal plans, then meet God right in the middle. In other words, He needs to get glory. We need to be used of Him. Our desire is to honor Him with our lives, and that people are saved. So it's a personal plan. When in verse 4 he says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Notice what it says. He's the one that fell. He's the one that had the change. He's the one that fell. And then he's the one that said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So it's a question that is asked as individuals. It's a personal plan. There's no one else in the world like you. And therefore, God has a personal plan for you. Everyone is just a little different. Everyone is just a little different. So it's a personal plan. It's also, if it's God's plan, then it's a perfect plan. It's a perfect plan. God knows our abilities. God knows what we can do and what we can't do. Sometimes there's things that we think we can't do, but you get God involved and you can do. But it's a perfect plan. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's that plan, the will of God. So it's a perfect plan. We present ourselves to Him, and we don't allow the world to influence, and it can. And we don't follow the world, but we follow Him, and we seek His will. You see, that's why it's a perfect plan. You can never go wrong by doing what God wants you to do. And I've said this before. It's been a while when I said it. But you can be in the most dangerous place, and if you're in God's will, you'll be safer than in a place that you think is safe. Because it's God's plan, and it's God's will. It's easy to watch others and say, "I want what they have, I want this type of ministry, and I want that type of ministry." But you see, God has them in those places. But God has a plan for us. And so we ask the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" We think about God's perfect plan in our lives. And as I said before, He may have had you doing this at this time period in your life, but circumstances change, situations change, and now He's got you doing something else. But it's still part of God's plan. And then I think about this, it's a practical plan. God's not going to have us doing something that we absolutely can't do. It's not a plan that only sounds good, but it's a plan that is doable. That is doable. God's plan for me, and I'll go ahead and say it, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but God's plan for me is not to be the president. Although I can't do much worse. But the point is, God raises people up to do different things. That's why we're part of the family. We're part of the family. And we don't always have to be seen. For instance, we have our hands, we have our eyes, we have our ears, we have all these things. But do you know what's very important? And that's your big toe. Because that helps you keep your balance. It's very seldom seen. Well, some people keep their balance. I'm picking. When I was preparing this message, I didn't know you were going to fall up the steps. But the point is, we need each other as part of God's plan. And we have to be willing to be whatever God wants us to be, whether it's seen or not. There's things that's done that nobody ever sees, but God sees. And that's the most important thing, that God sees. So it's a practical plan. So where do we start? How do we know God's plan for our life? Well, first of all, it starts during salvation. When a person accepts Christ as their personal Savior, then God can use them, and God can use them to a point to where it's going to help others. And that's what he did here in Saul's life. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do, is what the Lord said after he asked the question. And it came after his conversion. It came after he got saved. And then it continues with obedience. Now, Paul did exactly, and I know the scripture says Saul, but you know what I'm saying. His name was Saul, and then he was converted to Paul. But the point is, Paul did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, if he would have said, you know what, I think I'm going to go back the direction I came, and then I'll show up a little later. Well, that wasn't part of God's plan. God's plan was for him to go, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told to thee. You see, he was going to get direction, but he had to be obedient. He had to be obedient. He had to be, and this comes daily. It's called daily obedience. And there's a verse of scripture that I think of, and that's found in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 11. And the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me into a plain path because of mine enemies. You see, there's enemies out there that don't want you to follow God's plan. There's enemies out there, and there's obstacles out there, and there's things out there that wants to cause you to be distracted, to cause you to lose focus, to cause you to do something else. So we must be obedient. Whatever God's leading us to do, and make sure that when God's leading us, that it is followed through the scriptures, as far as God's not going to tell us to do something that's not in the scriptures. But we must be obedient. And then we have to continue in prayer. We have to continue in prayer. The Bible says, and Saul arose from the earth, in verse 8, Saul arose from the earth and When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So he went where he was supposed to go, where God was leading him. And verse 9 says, And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And I believe that that's a time that we commune with the Lord, and then that we pray. Praying, God, what do you want me to do? God, how can you use me today? God, you know, we have our daily plans, and we have our things that we need to do. We have our things that we want to do, and those type of things. But we must keep God in the forefront, because God might put someone in your path, just like I said, preparing someone else. But God might put someone in your path that He can't put in my path or your neighbor's path, but God might put someone in your path that needs help. And that's part of God's plan as we listen and as we find direction. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." So we get our direction from the Lord. So it starts at conversion. It starts at salvation, and then it continues. And it's just simply us being daily obedient to Him as part of the plan. Obedient to Him. And then, this is very important, and we must trust His plan. We must trust His plan. The Lord spoke to Saul, and he was a chosen vessel. He was a chosen vessel. Verse 15, the Bible says of that same chapter, verse 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him," meaning Paul, "go thy way," or he's telling Ananias about Paul, but he said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." And then he says, "To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Let me ask you a question. Did Paul do that? Do we see that in the scripture? Do we see that who he ministered to and who he helped? Do you know the ones that he stood before on trial? You see, that was all part of God's plan. And it was just simply Paul walking his daily life. The Bible says in verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And no one likes to suffer. But you see, that was part of the plan. But I don't think that Paul ever lost his joy. I mentioned this morning in the Philippians about what a tremendous relationship that he had with the Philippian people, and how they helped him and they nurtured him and they supported him. And that's why we need each other. We need each other to support each other, to pray for each other. Because we might need encouragement on the plan that God has for our life. And you might need encouragement for the plan that God has for your life. And that's why we assemble together and we worship together and we love together and we work together, all a part of God's plan. You see, that's what Paul did. And that's the reason that relationship was so good and so precious to Paul about the Philippian people. He was a chosen vessel, but Saul had to trust him. And we too must trust him. We must trust him. He had to trust in all situations of his life, no matter what it is. We must trust him. Amen. And that plan is an eternal plan. Everything that we do is going to reflect on eternity. There are people that already gone to heaven that was a big influence in my life, that helped me, that encouraged me, that supported me, and they have already been promoted. But I believe that God put those people in my life to help me with where I'm at today. And that's how God works. That's how we need Him in our lives. And you should never think of yourself, nor myself, as God not using, because God can use every one of us. It just may be in different ways. So I ask the question tonight, Lord, what will they have me to do? What will thou have me to do? You see, finding God's plan for your life is your communing with Him, fellowshiping with Him, getting direction, and just simply being willing to be used. We need each other. Our church needs each other. And what wonderful things God can do, no matter how small, no matter how large, God can do a mighty work if we allow Him to work in our lives. So we're going to close in prayer as the musicians come and song leader. And I want you to think about that question. Lord, what would thou have me to do? I want you to think about that question. And I want to ask a question. If you ask that question to the Lord, do you mean it? Do you want to be used? Do you want to make a difference in someone's life for the cause of Christ? We need each other. We need to work together. And we need to go forward for the cause of Christ. Everybody has a job. Everybody can be used. And I believe that God will bless. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, if you've spoken to someone's heart tonight, Lord, I just pray that they'll be willing to come. I pray that each one of us that are watching and each one of us that are listening tonight here in the sanctuary, I pray that we'll be willing to ask that question. Lord, what will you have me to do? How you used Paul in such a tremendous way. And you've used others in our community and in this church, but many of them have gone on. Help us to band together as a church family and say, Lord, how can I help you? How can I serve you? Remembering the love that you have for us. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless this invitation. And Father, I pray that you'll use each one of us. And if you've spoken to someone's heart, help them to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.